It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. New research from the health policy outlet KFF finds enrollment in Affordable Care Act marketplace insurance plans fell by more than 45,000 people in Wisconsin this year.
KFF researchers looked at ACA enrollment state by state and found that nearly all of them faced either enrollment declines or flat growth. Wisconsin saw a 16% decline. Neighboring states Minnesota and Michigan had enrollment decreases closer to 30% year over year.
Monthly premiums for ACA plans were expected to rise for many consumers this year after the expiration of enhanced tax credits that lowered the monthly costs of the public health care plans.
We'll hear more about the local impact of this drop in just a bit. First, Justin Lowe is with us, senior researcher for the KFF program on the Affordable Care Act. Justin, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, you went state by state, saw this 16% decrease in enrollment in the Affordable Care Act marketplace here in the state coming into this year. How significant is this decline, maybe compared to our expectations with that subsidy change?
Yeah, so we've had something called the Enhanced Premium Tax Credits, and they were brought into effect as a result of the COVID pandemic. And during this period from 2021 to 2025, we saw massive growth in the ACA enrollment population. So during this time period, we saw it about double. And now that the enhanced premium tax credits have expired at the end of 2025, we saw going into 2026 about a 12% decrease in enrollment from the record high of last year. In Wisconsin, that amount has dropped by about 16%. So that translates to roughly 50,000 people.
So a little higher decline than the national average. What is it that, if you can figure it out, what is it that makes one state see bigger declines, one state see smaller declines, and exactly one state see an increase?
Yeah. So although Wisconsin is a little higher than the national average, it's really in the ballpark of what we saw across the country. There are a lot of state factors that might affect what the change in enrollment is. One of the major factors is whether the state runs its own state-based exchange instead of using the federal healthcare.gov platform. And when it does, it has the option of doing things like recruitment at a state different level, at a state level, or offering state-specific subsidies. Wisconsin is using the federal platform, so it didn't do that. Also, you know, each state is really different in terms of what it might cost in terms of premiums there, the type of people that are enrolling, and other factors.
Now, one way of looking at this, of course, is yes, there's this year-to-year decline. You also looked back kind of to the pre-COVID era when those subsidies came in during COVID. We saw those numbers up. How do we stack up today compared to, say, what's that, 6-7 years ago?
Yeah, we still actually have a much larger enrollment population than we did before COVID. There are some forecasts, though, that without the enhanced premium tax credits, that the national enrollment population will kind of shrink and be pretty close to what it was before COVID.
Yeah, you tell kind of an ongoing story in this report. Part of the story is people, when they were going to enroll for 2026, maybe they saw that sticker shock and didn't enroll at all. You've also been watching people who drop out, and that's included in your numbers. What are you looking at there?
So people who enrolled for 2026 did so in two different ways. The first would be people who were in a plan last year. They are automatically re-enrolled if they choose not to make any changes. And then there are the people that decide to actively go shopping for a plan. And they may be new enrollees or continuing enrollees that have decided to look at what their options are. Among those that chose to re-enroll, we saw that a lot of people chose cheaper plans maybe to stay in the marketplace, and other people just dropped out. We did a survey at KFF at the end of last year, looking at people's intentions for the 2026 plan year. And we found that around 10%, so about 1 in 10 people who were on the marketplace coverage last year planned on being uninsured for this year. And that is really a significant change.
And what did people say about why they were discontinuing coverage? That was part, I think, of your survey.
Yeah, a lot of people cited costs as a deciding factor, much more so than people who had changes in their healthcare needs. So costs really come in different flavors, right? We have the costs that people are paying month to month in premiums, But then also when they seek care, they might have to pay out of pocket for some services. And then there's also the large expenses. For example, if they need to have emergency care or be hospitalized for some reason. A lot of people that took our survey responded that they weren't confident about their ability to pay for any of these costs.
And then there's been some attrition, I understand, as the year has gone on. Some people who did initially sign up couldn't afford or for whatever reason stopped paying their premiums. What are you watching for there?
We don't have a lot of information about why people are dropping out from Marketplace coverage other than the survey that we did earlier. But we do know that those that did sign up for coverage during the open enrollment period at the end of last year and into the beginning of this year, a significant portion of them have now not continued their coverage. So this might be because they have approached their insurer and said, yeah, I really don't want to continue my coverage. Please terminate my policy. Or it could be for reasons of non-payment, where because they're not paying, their insurer then terminates their coverage. We don't really have a lot of information. I wish we did qualitatively about what's happening to these folks.
Another thing that might be tricky to analyze, I don't know, is you had mentioned some people stuck with Marketplace coverage but went to a cheaper plan, a cheaper premium plan, maybe silver down to bronze or gold down to silver, whatever the case may be. What do you see as you try to dig into those numbers?
Yeah, so we know that cost is a very, very important determinant in what plan consumer might choose. And for a lot of people who don't use a ton of healthcare services, that drop from a higher coverage level to a lower coverage level might not have a lot of impact on their health. But we know that if you are on a lower coverage plan, when you do need to seek healthcare, the amount that you're on the hook for is a lot higher. So what we're really worried about now is people who have either dropped their coverage level or completely gone uninsured, whether when they go to seek care, whether they'll be under a lot of financial strain. And hospitals on for their part might be more concerned with uncompensated care or an increased utilization in emergency rooms.
All right, now I foreshadowed this a little earlier. Every state in the union has seen a decline in Affordable Care Act Marketplace coverage, except one, New Mexico. What's going on there?
Yeah, New Mexico took their own state funds to fully replace the enhanced premium tax credits that were lost. What they saw was a 20% increase in enrollment. So they continued their trajectory that they had during the pandemic period where enhanced premium tax credits were in place.
Have you seen any other states taking action that obviously didn't do what New Mexico did, but may have kept them on the lower end of the decline, seeing a smaller drop in participation?
Yeah, a lot of those state-based marketplaces did have some sort of premium assistance that was funded by the state. And those are the ones that saw smaller decreases in enrollment drop.
Looking toward the future, these numbers are about halfway into 2026. What are the big open questions that remain for you, Justin, as we go through 2026 and then into an enrollment period for 2027?
Yeah, so the big thing that remains undetermined is what insurers themselves are going to do in response to the change in enrollment. We know that some insurers are reassessing their presence in the marketplace business segment. A very large national insurer has already completely pulled out of ACA marketplaces. Wisconsin is a really interesting state to look at, though, because there are so many different insurers that offer marketplace coverage. I think for 2026, there are 11 insurers, which is much above the average, especially for the size of Wisconsin. What we don't know is whether those insurers will change their offerings, whether they'll shrink their footprint, offering fewer plans, and that in turn might give consumers fewer choices. So the impact on the upcoming years isn't really clear yet.
Justin, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
My pleasure.
Justin Lowe is a senior researcher for the KFF program on the ACA. For more on the impact of the drop in Affordable Care Act enrollment in Wisconsin, Brandy Lewis is with us. Brandy's a benefits manager with Outreach Community Health Centers. They operate clinics in Milwaukee and Racine. Brandy, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, we're hearing this data from KFF, a 16% enrollment decline in ACA marketplace plans here in Wisconsin. What are you seeing at your community health centers?
Well, the first thing that we noticed during the last open enrollment session, November 1st through January 15th of 2026, is that the plans had gone up considerably. I assisted quite a few folks who were paying in between $7 and $25 to $30. And when we went to do the renewals last winter, those plans had gone up to $105, $115, $120. Specifically, a patient was paying $7.65, and that plan in particular went up to $125. That was for a bronze level plan, which is the least amount of coverage that you can pay for.
When you were working with those people, seeing the cost go up after the end of subsidies in part, what decisions were they making? Were people saying, nope, I can't afford that? Or were they able cutting back to less expensive plans? How did they react?
Some folks were already in the least expensive plan that you can get, and they had gone up. So many of those folks decided that they were going to opt to not enroll in healthcare, which is when we start to see some of those numbers dropping. And they decided to utilize either our sliding fee scale, which is a discounted program that we have as a federal qualified health center, or they may have gone to some of the other FQHCs in the area, but they opted to not select those plans and to, you know, kind of work with the area clinics to cut costs.
Now, that was what you're seeing during the enrollment period. Now we have a lot of people who didn't re-enroll, and we're seeing, again, in that KFF research, part of the story is people who did enroll but realize, I can't afford this, and stop paying. So more people uncovered. For your sliding scale services at the clinics, what are you seeing in terms of the numbers of people who need those services?
Well, you know, on our end, a lot of folks are eligible for Medicaid, but that population of individuals who we can't get them insurance because they may not be here lawfully or they are over income. And unfortunately, they had to make a hard decision of electing their employer's decision or keeping that money to pay other bills, which is a very real reality for, you know, most of the people that we serve. You know, so they were just kind of faced with picking between gas and groceries, or if I'm going to be able to pay for this plan. And like you said, many of them thought they would be able to pay the subsidy, but they ended up not being able to pay that monthly premium after getting into it for a few months.
Right. And then, so are you seeing more people than showing up with that need for the sliding scale services, or, you know, people showing up without any kind of coverage?
Oh, absolutely. Our sliding fee scale has grown specifically at our Racine clinic. We're kind of existing here. We've been here for many years at our Milwaukee location. So we have that insured population kind of down to a science. But the Racine is a fairly new clinic. We just opened it in January. So we have not been able to even begin to offer those folks plans. So that is where the majority of our uninsured patients are coming from. But yes, they are having to utilize the sliding fee scale in much higher numbers than in the past.
So with that sliding fee, you're providing services, you're getting compensated less by the patient. Is there funding out there that makes up the gap then? Or what does that mean for the services you provide?
Well, FQHCs do work with the federal government. There are specific grants that we get to serve the uninsured population. It's just, you know, we may not have accounted for this many people that needed to use it. But at our particular facility, you know, we have a pharmacy that generates revenue. We have donors. We have funders. We have grants that come in. So it's really just about making sure that we're catching these demographics so that we can report out and potentially get more money to continue to service the community in the coming years.
Right. If there's a shortfall, can you go back to the federal government and say, hey, there are more people using our sliding scale than we expected. We're getting more uninsured people. Can you adjust the federal part of our budget up some?
Not in this fiscal year. So we're kind of locked into a grant contract, so to speak, that this is what you're getting. and you would have to revise that in the following year and request those funds for the next year so that when that comes in, maybe you can break even. So it's definitely a burden across the board.
You mentioned people who don't have a legal status in the United States. A federal policy put in place last year restricts even some lawfully present immigrants and certainly undocumented immigrants from federal health center services. How does that affect your clinic and the patients you work with?
I mean, it affects us greatly. And I think on the patient side, it gives them a lot of anxiety about whether or not someone is going to ask them if they're lawfully present and they're just trying to take care of their health, whether it's physical or that's mental. On our end, that would look like us, you know, asking if they're present lawfully. We have a partner in 16th Street Clinic, and they work very closely with that particular demographic. So it really is just a matter of making patients feel safe enough to come so that they are still able to kind of take care of their mental health and their physical health.
Now, so far this year, do you have a sense of like the number, the percentage of people who show up seeking services who have some form of coverage, insurance coverage, whether that's state or marketplace or whatever, a Medicaid or whatever, versus those who have no kind of coverage at all?
Yeah, our clinic operates anywhere between 87% insured and about 92% insured. So we're working with a very small population of folks that don't have insurance, whether that be they elected to not take the employer insurance or their employer doesn't offer it. We work with a lot of low-income families, disabled, elderly folks that are going to fit under that Medicaid umbrella. It may be a little bit of a complex case, but it's great to work with a benefit specialist that would be able to kind of sift through the different Medicaid options. So maybe you're over income for standard BadgerCare Plus, but you could be eligible for the MAP program or EBD Medicaid. It really just depends for person to person. But we are fairly insured. It's just we're working with a small population of folks that are having trouble keeping and getting that insurance.
So, Brandy, as we wrap up, what are you watching for next when it comes to how people get their care now that those Affordable Care Act marketplace costs went up after the subsidies went away?
Well, I think we're definitely watching to see how we can assist and introduce people to maybe other insurance options or different ways that they can get this health care if they absolutely have to forego electing to keep the insurance. We want to make sure that people are aware of different services or resources that they can use. That doesn't mean that you have to go without health care just because you're not able to make that monthly premium. So I really would like to focus on getting the word out about any FQHC or charity care at, you know, your local hospitals like Frederick or Aurora, to just kind of make sure that people are aware and that they have choices and resources that they can use as opposed to just foregoing getting treatment altogether.
Brandy, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Brandy Lewis is a benefits manager with Outreach Community Health Centers in Milwaukee and Racine. Earlier, we heard from Justin Lowe, a senior researcher with KFF, who's part of their program on the Affordable Care Act.